Devon Lovelace.
This is your captain speaking.
I think it's a bit scary in many ways. And Fly, Devon Lovelace, and Fly. I said it twice because I couldn't quite believe it the first time around. Somebody you can always believe because he's got that air of verisimilitude. And what other station can bring you a polysyllabic word like verisimilitude this time of the day? It's, of course, Cameron Tilbury from the Fantastic...
I've had verisimilitude once, but a little medication cleared it right up.
It's always good. Cameron Tilbury, publicity.com, of course, our Canadian country expert and broadcaster, based in Peterborough, in fact. So it's nice to know that we couldn't get through to Stockholm, but at least Peterborough connected. Yay!
Yay.
Fantastic. Heaven only knows what's going to be happening next week. We're supposed to be going live to Australia to launch the show.
Still, that'll be tomorrow night then.
Yeah, exactly. You know, keep our links together. That's the important thing. So I don't know if you caught any of Sophia Tolvik's Florida tribute there, but I always thought that was a bit more, that sounded vaguely country-esque to me.
Yeah, I think that we've talked about that before, and that's the first time I've actually heard it, and I really like it. But that would fit into what's really now called the Americana event. So it has Americana is a, it started kind of with country, but it now kind of embraces everything that doesn't really fit anywhere else.
It's become just a thing that effectively is Americana.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Robert Plant's latest album, that is qualified as Americana. Mm. So it just embraces everything, kind of roots, blues, folk influences. Mm. That's a great song. I really like
that. Yeah, well, again, we worked through that. Now, talking about great songs, you don't have to look up anything to actually find that Ashton Shepherd, she's one country artist who's beginning to be part of a whole rising star.
Yeah, Ashton really kicked it out a couple, I think 2009, her debut album really hit, and so many hits came off of that, just blew people away. And now she's the long-anticipated Sophomore album, and the video for this is really fun. But this song is really starting to top the charts. It's going to do big for her.
And in your own inimitable way, Cameron, would you like to introduce it?
Yes, sir. This is Ashton Shepherd, and Look It Up.
Which do you think Ashton's recommending, Cameron?
I think internet, of course.
Precisely. Hello to our Siren internet listeners. Wherever you happen to be, it's always quite nice to get feedback. I mean, from wherever you happen to be, you can always reach us studio@sirenonline.co.uk. That's studio@sirenonline.co.uk. Telephonically, 01522 837337, or indeed text 07797 800716. I was a very busy person this morning, Cameron, because I came in and actually uploaded not one, but two of the interviews from last night's show. Well, of course, we were running the Matt Munro competition, chance to actually get your hand on the hands on a recently released, or soon to be released, actually, Matt Munro special album. And the question that Michelle Munro sort of put out to the whole thing, it all ties in with the Eurovision Song Contest. It's online now, so there we are. You can go to the sirenonline.co.uk website, find the midweek drive page. It's relatively straightforward. It's under shows. Click on where it says listen to past interviews. You scroll down there, and then bang, you'll have the chance to listen to it as many times as you wish, basically. The closing date for that will be next Tuesday if you want to get your entries in. We've already had a few people who actually got the correct answer. I was very impressed.
Well, that's good.
I was amazed. I mean, it was one of those which I thought, I suppose if you read the book and you followed it, you would know the answer, but extraordinary. Anyway, let us move on. Tallulah Rendell, a singer-songwriter who's just been touring Australia. She's actually half Australian, London-based alternative rock singer-songwriter with a six-piece band made of guitars, electric cello and drums. Music defined as ethereal yet powerful, delicate and yet vociferous in its insistent, intricate and beautifully orchestrated sound. Cameron, I'm going to throw this at you now because obviously Tal will be joining us later on in the show. She's one of our regular correspondents, etc. She's having a launch in London for her second album, Alive, released officially on the 18th of March. Again, she's worked with artists ranging from the music painter Kilford, who's worked with Paul Weller, Iggy and the Stooges, Rage Against the Machine, etc. Are you ready for a Tallulah Rendell track called Blind Like a Fool? And let's say whether this could also maybe be encompassed within that broad brushstroke of Americana. What say you, Cameron?
Let's hear it.
I'd say that could get you out of bed in the morning. There we are. So, thoughts on Tallulah Randall, Blind Like a Fool?
Yeah, I think she's really good. You know, she fits right into that kind of Americana ethos. I just brought up the Americana Music Association website here, and if you look at kind of their top 40 album chart, you have guys like Greg Allman, Wanda Jackson, who, you know, probably last had a hit about 45 years ago, Mississippi All-Star.
Maybe
Robert
she's been
Plant.
Just working as the creative time. You can't put a time slot on a routine. I mean, maybe after 46 years, she'll have a major, major success
exactly.
on her hands. Yeah.
But they're bringing back, you know, you've got Robbie Robertson on the chart. He just debuted. Bands like Steel Driver, Sean Mullins, Elvis Costello on the Americana Music Association chart. So
it's all great. Of course, for me, the classic Sean Mullins track, I believe, Lullaby. Very good.
Oh, great song. That's one of my absolute favorite songs ever. I absolutely love that song.
Well, there you go. We'll clearly have to work that into the playlists here. It's great stuff from that point of view. So Tal will be joining us, as I say, hopefully second part of the program. It's extraordinary, actually, because we've originally sort of panned out for a team of co-presenters. People might be saying, well, where are they, etc. Frankly, we don't know. Well, actually, we've had a poorly email that's come in from Kay Rogers. Kay's unwell, so Kay, get well soon. Hope all's well from that point of view. I had another inquiry as to whether somebody could sit in on the show. I said, yes, never heard from them again. It's a very strange scenario. Perhaps that's the key thing. Maybe it's reverse psychology. If somebody actually puts in a request, says, can we sit in on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition and take part in it? If I said no, they'll be sort of flooding through the doors. Amazing.
It's the old Groucho Marx thing. Precisely. I wouldn't want to be part of any club that would have me.
Quite right, too. Exactly so. You're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Lincoln's first community radio station, Siren 107.3 FM. Just in case you're keeping clock watching, not that we hope you will be obsessed with clock watching, it's just coming up to 23 minutes past 8 a.m. Okay, that's Greenwich Mean Time. British Summer Time hasn't obviously come into place as yet from that point of view. So what does the rest of the day have in store for yourself, Cameron?
We're doing tracking today, so it's talking to radio all over the place, trying to see who's playing what, and got a couple of phone calls to make to a couple of other managers, and we'll see what happens. They just kind of pan out the way they pan out.
Exactly. Well, exactly. And so we'll be looking to feature more country music and Americana, of course, yes, as the weeks proceed and develop from that point of view. Next week, we launch a new show here on Siren FM between 11 and 1, a kind of news behind the headlines. It's currently a show with no name, but it's going to have a newsy-based twist to it. But that still, of course, means that between 10 and 11, we still await the country show with your good self, Cameron, to work through, and that needs to be developed, hopefully, in March.
Yeah. So, can you actually, in fact, ride through the desert listening to a show with no name?
Hey, like it. This is cross-referencing in a whole wonderful way. So I've got to give mention to what's happening here in Lincoln, at least, on Friday at 7:30 p.m. Mike Gunn and Sean Collins, Comedy Roads, having made dynamic appearances on the Michael McIntyre Comedy Road Show. Mike Gunn and Sean Collins have teamed up to present a unique double bill show that not only offers solo sets from each, but which also culminates with both comic heartthrobs on stage together. This is at the Theatre Royal. You can see Mike Gunn and Sean Collins. Ticket £17.50 and £16.50. That's £16.50 or £17.50. Inquiries 01522 51999. Great news. John Dixon is about to enter the studio, so we'll be able to speak to John in a few moments about his research interests, etc. And I tell you what, Cameron, are you okay to actually join us with respect to John and sort of touch base about? Because, I mean, the reason I'm mentioning this, John actually heads up the American Studies program here.
Okay, yeah,
so
I'm in.
Very important person for from that sort of point of view. And in terms of that's, now I'm going to go with this. I know we turned it down last week, but we will actually feature the delights of Mr. Soul. I thank you.
Reaching out to me.
Well, I know he was Hutch in Starsky and Hutch, but I thought that wasn't bad. David Soul and Topanga. What say you, Cameron Tilbury?
I don't know whether it's good or bad, but I grew up watching Starsky and Hutch, and I hung around with a guy who had curly hair, and I'm blonde, so they always used to call us Starsky and Hutch. So I've always had kind of a soft spot for David Soul's stuff, even though it can be a little bit cheesy at times. I'm still a fan.
A little bit cheesy, but at the same time, it adds a certain quality to the whole thing. John Dixon, welcome to the Good Ship Midweek Drive Morning Edition. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Excellent. Now, when we were launching the whole program, we said you're the course leader, program leader for the American Studies program here.
I am.
Getting away from one of our Midweek Drive regulars, Joy Knight, as she begins to head off into the office to sort
pulling
of...
Pulling faces at me.
It's her way, you know. Yeah. She's a celebrity. I mean, we're raising the profile of Joy Knight on a regular basis, really. So that's great stuff. I mean, Cameron was very taken with Joy when he was actually, you know, he thought being a lookalike for Gordon Ramsay that, you know, he was obviously going to be full place with it. Then he met Joy. It's a different line entirely.
There you go.
Anyway, American Studies, share with us, John, why is it an absolutely fantastic program and how did you decide to sort of launch with this? Because we've just been talking with Cameron about Americana and a sort of musical theme.
Right. Well, I think it's basically Americana that led to this program because of a joint interest across different disciplines and different subject areas, but we were all intrigued by American culture. I mean, I grew up on the east coast of England and I listened to blues music and I read American fiction and I watched the American movies and I didn't read English literature, so I grew up wanting to be an American, I suppose.
Was that the same for yourself as a Canadian, Cameron, or did you just think they haven't got any civilization whatsoever south of the border?
Yeah, I grew up 45 minutes from Niagara Falls, New York, so, you know, it was always closer for us where I live to cross over into the U.S. to go out and do things than it was to drive to Toronto, which was an hour and a bit drive. So I grew up heavily influenced by American media and, you know, just being able to cross over the border in a matter of minutes.
So, any questions you want to put to John about his other research interests? Because I was thinking initially, John, you've delivered a couple of papers here with Catherine Redpath. Mm. One has had a sort of science fiction theme, and then there's another one that's gone to something completely different, which was a couple of weeks ago. So share with us the one that you did recently.
Well, the one we did recently was about trauma, and it grew out of an interest in the way trauma theory is seeming to dominate at the moment in the humanities. And it also grew out of a disquiet about the effectiveness of that approach.
Traumatised about trauma?
Nearly. Angered about trauma might be a better answer. It seemed very reductive, and it seemed to ignore at least 50% of what the human condition is, and that's a physical embodiment in reality. So that's what drove it along in the paper. Now, what the paper was about was a film, a Romanian film, about the regime that followed communism, Ceausescu's totalitarian regime in Romania.
Never quite made it into the Americana charts, Ceausescu. I mean, he did his best, you know, tried to be positive, but... didn't, Cameron. I'm sorry. I have to make these points.
Dude, you can't, well, you could say he took the country by storm, but
no, you best not go there, etc. Fascinating. Cameron, any questions or thoughts about the trauma theory? Because I would have thought, again, you can cross-reference that clearly to the post-9/11 culture, clearly to the whole notion of Haiti, world disasters and so on. I noticed we've got Catherine Redpath waiting outside. If she knocks on the door, she might actually be open, she might be let in by the wonderful individual who is actually, you know, waiting there, Ed Hartop. But I know it's a crucial thing, and I point this out to people, if you do go to a radio station anywhere, try knocking on the door. You just might get in.
Jeez. I think trauma, I mean, the way I understand it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you could almost relate the trauma theory to almost the whole American experience, or not just American experience, but any country that's been founded out of revolution. The major difference between Canada and the U.S. was Canada was formed by a political stroke of the pen, and the United States was formed out of revolution. So it defines who you are as a people, I think.
Does that make Canada intrinsically more civilized, or is it just a case of no? I just raised that. I realize it might cause one or two ructions amongst you.
No, I don't think it makes Canada any more civil, more or less civilized. I just think it's a different way of viewing the world, and I think that shaped American policy for the best part of its history. Okay.
Catherine Redpath, welcome to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. I was a little bit worried earlier this morning when you seemed to take off at a rate of knots into a totally different direction. I thought, I was supposed to speak to
you. I need coffee,
Alex. it was the old caffeine addiction. That's fair enough. Cameron, any questions you'd like to put to Catherine? Because it's her first ever Midweek Drive Morning Edition show. I tell you, the negotiations we had to... first of all, we had to sort of get our people to speak to Catherine and John. We had to... It's the most complex, but we got there in the end. Anyway, Cameron, questions for Catherine.
Okay, the first one. How are you, Catherine?
I'm good, thanks, Cameron. How are you? No, I've got coffee. Fine. I'm good.
What kind of coffee did you get?
Oh, black. Black and strong, always.
Oh, good.
It's clearly the espresso moments that just keep you going at that point. The trauma paper that you delivered, co-authored with John from that point of view, talking about obviously the Romanian impact and the line from that aspect, is this something which was a long-held interest, or is it something which you thought, no, after dealing with the adaptation for so many years, I need to effectively go into trauma counselling?
Yeah. Effectively, it was the latter.
Was
To be honest, it's an area that's really been neglected in UK universities. I mean, America is very, very engaged with trauma theory and concerns about trauma, and American society is engaged with it in so many ways, you know, just in terms of all these cultural artifacts. Mm. And there's a lot of money in America for trauma studies. Mm. And it was pretty
much
unheard.
Not, of course, it's the pursuit of the dollar that actually influenced you in choosing to do a paper on the whole thing.
No, because I'm in a UK university.
Exactly.
Not quite the same thing at all. But we just felt it had been neglected, didn't we, John?
Yeah, we did.
And we also felt trauma theory is something that actually everybody can identify with on so many different levels. Mm. And it's something that people want to talk about, isn't it?
Yeah, it
we
is.
We find
it
that
is.
All the time.
I think that's one of the reasons why it's interesting, is because we automatically think, well, we know that.
Yeah.
And we know what the consequences are.
It's been suggested that the counselling trade, which is certainly a profession, so mm-hmm. is the term, etc., that exploded certainly during the 16th, 17th and 80s, really, from the last century, they've kind of replaced the role of the priests and the professionals and the kind of religious icons that used to be the case. Is that something you would say is a lie? Because I know I've heard various sort of notions, and clearly... If you even go back to Second World War, the notion of post-traumatic stress disorder just didn't exist. You know, and people just had to keep with the whole thing. Oh, we see it existed, it just wasn't identified as a challenge.
Well, I think it's part of the medicalisation of reality and the insistence on categorising and diagnosing conditions. Mm. Now, whether those conditions exist before they're categorised, I'm not sure.
We're going to be talking shortly. Sorry.
Sorry, I think there was an understanding of it. I mean, John always has a really good phrase about this. Wasn't it that the officers in World War Two just needed a bit of a rest, bit of a day off?
Yeah.
And the non-officers were lazy when it comes to...
Malingering,
yeah, yes. That's right. So it certainly wasn't understood as post-traumatic stress disorder.
No.
But combat fatigue was known.
Yeah, it went from shell shock in World War One into fatigue in World War II. And the approaches to it were very class-driven in a UK situation.
Interesting stuff from that point of view. I mean, Cameron, I don't know if you want any sort of final observations you want to make. So we'll be talking shortly to Aaron Craig, who I don't think he's ever traumatised anybody with his cooking or his culinary tip of the week, but who knows, he has had army experience as well. So we'll speak with Aaron about
definitely
that. Definitely, I'd say. Definitely. But anyway, Cameron, I've got to say, we add a bit of variety to these links, etc. We started off, obviously, with Americana, country music, etc. onwards. Any thoughts from yourself? No,
so I got this. I'm just sitting here thinking my head's going to explode.
Well, it's just as well we've got some Adele coming in a few moments. Incidentally, did you catch any of the Brit Awards earlier this week, or was that a case of I can't cope with that? I got all the country music awards to do as well.
Well, I watched a little bit of the US stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't catch any.
I don't think Justin Bieber knew where he was, actually. I think he was just wheeled out. I think he was just in a different world entirely.
Justin Bieber is Canada's revenge for everything that's been perpetrated on their country.
Yeah, well, you heard it first. I suspected it, but it needed a Canadian to actually say that. That's the sort of rationale. Cameron, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today
Drive? Terribly interesting telephonic link.
I see. So can we look forward to connecting with you again? Actually, same time next week. We're looking, obviously, at another fantastic selection from your wonderful range of artists. I'm Cameron Tilbury, publicity.com.